Why is the rum always gone?
Hi there! Welcome to the Main Street Mouse!
Hello, welcome to TMSM Weekly Live, show number 46 for March 25th, 2019. I am Scott Atwood. Today I will be behind the camera reading your questions and making sure everything's going well on the tech side. As always, Michelle and her chair are ready to interview our friend, you may know him, DJ Chill from Frozen Summer.
That was a long
DJ
time.
Lobot, Star Wars Weekends.
Still ball.
DJ Elliot, which he's most known for, but our friend Elliot Hansen is going to be joining Michelle tonight for the show to talk about things he's doing, things coming up, and Star Wars, everything he knows about Star Wars that he can share with us.
I know nothing about Star Wars.
Nothing.
You know nothing.
So, have a great show. I'm going to go behind the camera.
No Star Wars. Okay, so yes, we have DJ Elliot in the co-host chair. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No, this is really great. So I wanted to tell people, I didn't tell you this ahead of time, but I wanted to say something nice about you. Because back in 2014, when I was the new kid on the scene here, the first time I met you was opening day of Frozen Summer Fun.
Okay.
The very first day they did it, and everything was kind of a hodgepodge of stuff going on. And
well, you know, when you put an event together 2 weeks before it opens, you know, yeah, it becomes a hodgepodge.
I remember you telling me that because I was with my friend John, aka Panda.
And oh, yes.
And he introduced me to you, and you were very kind to me, and I never forgot that. So thank you. And that was almost 5 years ago. So much changes at Disney. I mean, Frozen Summer Fun now is just a memory.
Now it'll be Frozen Summer Fun 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Do you think that they're going to do something to revive it?
Oh, man, they have to. They have to do something. I don't think it'll be at studios. Like, it would make more sense probably at, like, Magic Kingdom. But I definitely think that Disney's going to take advantage of, you know, as we're rolling into this, convincing people that, hey, you're going to want to buy this streaming app. Like, I just think you're going to continue to see, you know, like, I would expect, I mean, what's the next big thing Disney Channel-wise? Probably Descendants? Like, there's got to be, like, Descendants stuff and new Mickey Mouse, you know, Mickey Mouse cartoons and DuckTales. I mean, all the DuckTales ties into what we're doing in Dinoland right now. So, I mean, you know, it's just, why would they not? It's the perfect, you know, synergy.
And let's keep that Frozen train going, right? I mean, it's so funny because I remember, you know, when we put out information and it's like Frozen or it could be anything, but, you know, people were like, enough already, or, you know, don't shoot the messenger. But I think that, you know, I'll admit, I actually liked Frozen Summer Fun.
I did too.
I thought the fireworks were great. I loved your DJ set.
Thank you.
Because as they know, I'm kind of like a techno junkie. I love dance music. Anything that's boom, boom, boom. And I will dance in my car. I don't care. I will embarrass my children. I don't care. That's just, I love that kind of music. So I think that...
Well, we never got our electronica here at Walt Disney World. Like, that was what I always wanted. Like, you know, Disneyland had electronica and it killed and everybody had such a great time. But we just never got that. So we, you know, I tried to do what little I could do, you know, between Star Wars and then Frozen, and then there was some summer one, I forgot what it was called, and then Club Disney, we did,
that was
short-lived too, but just...
And you know, I liked Club Disney as well.
Really cool as well.
I thought that was a lot of fun, and I remember when they closed that, a lot of people were disappointed.
Well, it's the never ever changing park. So
it really is. So before we get back into like current things, I wanted to kind of for our viewers to kind of get to know you a little bit. So I thought maybe you could talk to them about like how you started working at Disney. Maybe give us a little backstory, maybe fun stories, whatever you want. We're here to listen, so go right ahead.
All
right,
so I came to Disney in the fall of 1997. It was August 28th, actually. I will never forget. I was a part of the Walt Disney World College program.
Oh, nice.
I did. It was nice. I had 3 days of traditions because it was a lot back then, so... 2 days of like traditions, and then the third day was like half day rules and regulations, meet the union, and then the other half of the day you went to your work location. But back then they like didn't tell you where you were going to go.
Oh.
And when I went to my like recruitment seminar, it was at the University of Texas, they picked, there's probably 500 people in the room, and they picked like 10 of us. So it was a super small group back then. Lived at Vista Way. So got there, and every day we got there, it's like, all right, day one, you're going to attractions. And I was like, sweet, because my dream, Jungle Cruise, or Great Movie Ride, or Backlot Tour. Those were the three places I wanted to work. Because as a kid, I was born in Minnesota, grew up in Austin, Texas. And so every vacation, our family would come to Walt Disney.
So you were a Disney kid, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, to the point where, and I would, if I had kids, I probably would never do what my parents did, which was like, we'd stay at the Swan and Dolphin and they'd be like, here are your room keys, we'll see you tonight. My sister and I would just run off and run around and do whatever. And then just meet up at night. It was crazy that, you know, they let us do that. I don't think many parents would let anybody do that nowadays.
Well, probably not. It's kind of different times now.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you got to be careful.
I did drink water out of a hose back then.
So yeah.
Pretty sure I have lead poisoning or something like that.
All kinds of stuff. Times change. Okay, so when you got through that.
So I found out my first day attractions, so I was like, sweet. And then the second day, they're like, you're going to Magic Kingdom. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to Jungle Cruise. And then on the final day, they're like, you're going to Fantasyland. And I was like, there's no spieling attractions in Fantasyland. And then when I met my trainer, they're like, you're going to work at the Skyway. And I was like, what's the Skyway? And I learned very quickly what the Skyway was. But my very first official day at work at Walt Disney World, it was raining super hard, so the Skyway was closed.
Oh.
And so they said, hey, so since the Skyway's closed, we can't like take you over and train you. But what we can do is we need your help over at It's a Small World. It was closed for rehab. And so I shoveled money into a bucket and pressure washed the concrete floor. And I was like, I don't know. What have I signed up for? And it was really weird because my first 3 months at Disney were actually really miserable. I had a miserable time.
Oh, that's awesome.
I hated my job. I hated, I didn't really like the people I was working with.
Were you just disenchanted with the whole thing of what you thought it might be and to actually what it
was? I really think that was just... I was a human bumper, because we would bring the cabins to a stop, put four people in them, throw them around the corner, and just did that all day long. And especially then, as I worked at Disney longer, I learned that as a full-timer, you don't want to get to know these college program kids because
they don't stay.
4 months from now, they're gone.
Right.
So my first, 2 months, these guys that I work with every day had no interest in getting to know me because I would be leaving in 4 months.
Right. I didn't think of it that way. No long-term friendships to make
people
want to
start. Yeah, and I didn't work with any other college program kids. There were no other college program kids at that gig.
Wow.
And I got injured, and so then I started doing a lot of parade audience control, and I had that moment that most people have at Disney where you just stop. I was walking up the left side of the castle, and I tripped, and I fell, and I just leaned up and saw this beautiful pink castle. And I said to myself, hey, like, you're at Disney, like, make the best of it. Like,
you had a come to Mickey moment.
Yeah, it is what you make of it. And it totally changed my outlook, and I had a great time, and I got to know everybody, and figured out that, cast member break room balance, it's very hard to figure out when you work at Disney, and then decided I was going to stay because I had finally found my home. I didn't really fit in Texas. I found my people here in Florida, and one of the saddest days of my life, though, was the last day of the college program, because all of a sudden, there are 1,000 people that you know, and they all go home one day, and everything's the same, except all your friends are gone.
That's sad. So,
but I had gotten a part-time job at the Jungle Cruise, so I went and started my job at the Jungle Cruise, did that for a couple months, then went to entertainment, and... just had my brief little career at Disney. So
did you enjoy doing the Jungle Cruise?
Loved it. So I did the Jungle Cruise, then I went to entertainment. I was in entertainment for a while as, friends of Tigger and those type of people.
Mm-hmm.
Was supposed to be trained at the Legend of the Lion King puppet show, but never actually got trained there.
Puppet show.
Where Mickey's PhilharMagic is now.
Oh my gosh!
It was the Legend of the Lion King show.
Oh my gosh! So
you totally forgot about that, didn't you?
I did. I'm so used to Mickey's PhilharMagic. when things change, like Disney fans don't really like change as a whole.
No.
But when it does change, you almost forget about what was, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
And that's how Disney works, though. It's like, I know you don't want this to close or whatever, but we're going to make this so much a good transition.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to railroad you there.
No, you're good.
Oh my gosh.
I was in the Spectre Magic Light Parade.
That was one of my favorite times.
And it was there where I met this guy named Eric. Okay. And Eric was friends with the Queen of Hearts, and I was friends with Brer Fox. I'm using my terminology in case there's kids at home.
Great.
And we started talking, and I had mentioned that I DJed back home, and he said, I live with the guy who DJs at Disney. Would you be interested in meeting him and possibly training with us? So I started training with the guy. His name was John. He was one of the DJs at Walt Disney World, and we used to do this little kids dance party out in front of the Atlantic Dance Hall to try to convince people to come into the Atlantic Dance Hall every night. It's when swing dancing was like the biggest thing, and Atlantic Dance Hall was packed every night. And we'd do this cheesy little kids dance party out front every night, and that's how I learned to be a DJ at Disney. And so even though I was always a cast member kind of in the background, I was always working towards, I want to be a DJ at Walt Disney World. And right around 2004 was when I finally passed my audition. It took me like 4 auditions to get hired at Disney.
Wow.
And they only do DJ auditions, you know, once. Well, now they don't even do them anymore. They happened every like 1 to 2 years. And they would be terrifying because they'd happen at Pleasure Island. So you'd be at, my first one was at the Rock and Roll Beach Club.
God.
So you're on the stage in the Rock and Roll Beach Club, and there is nobody in the room but a table of 3 people staring at you. And they're like,
it's just like a movie.
And they're like, all right, show us what you do. And then they had purposely set up the equipment so it was set up wrong so that they could see if you could handle the stress.
Oh, God.
And I tried to do this chicken dance thing, and my mouth got all dry.
Oh, no.
It was so miserable. And they're like, and they told John, they're like, we want to see him back here in like a year. And so then I went back again, and it went a little better, and then by the 4th time, I was ready to go. And 2004, my first event was a Disney College Program event, and then it just kind of went on from there.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And speaking of Pleasure Island, not to change our conversation, but I see people saying Pleasure Island.
Yeah.
So, like, I know for me, when I was a kid or even a teenager, I couldn't wait to be old enough to get that almighty wristband to be able to actually go in all the places.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that a lot of kids today, they're like, Pleasure Island. No, and it was such a thing back then. And it was exciting. And, you know, like, I loved Mannequins because, again, that was my kind of music.
Oh, and that revolving
dance floor. And yes! I mean...
And there's so much, like, little things that nobody knows. The Mannequins Dance Palace at Pleasure Island was the very first nightclub in America to have a CD player.
Really?
The very first nightclub in the United States to have a CD player. Yeah, absolutely, from Pioneer.
Get out!
Craziness.
Fun facts,
like,
you guys.
Things you would never know. Like, just those, who would have ever thought? But yeah, no.
No, and you know what? I really think, let me ask you this. Do you think that, like, I mean, now in this day and age, well, at least in the past several years, you know, Disney's all about, like, the dance parties and the different things. I sort of kind of miss the fact of that nightlife. You know, a place where, you know, like Pleasure Island, like the kids can walk through and do the shopping or whatever, but like, do you remember the New Year's countdowns at midnight and the little bit of fireworks and the parties and the, you know, like the, you know, the comedy club and, you know, ventures and all that stuff. Do you miss that sort of thing too?
I got to see it from both sides. So I got to experience it as somebody going to experience it. It was great. As somebody on the other side working on the other end, it was such a non-magical experience.
Really?
Yeah, it really was not. I mean, you're dealing with drunk people at Walt Disney World.
That's true.
And whereas, say I'm working downtown in Orlando, and somebody comes up and is rude and mean to me, I can tell them to go, whatever.
Exactly.
You can't do that at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest things about being a DJ on the cruise ship, is because you still have to have that Disney
yes, magic, whatever you want, super nice service.
But yet, you have drunk people belittling you and being rude and angry.
I never thought of it that way.
You're like, I'm going to close this door and pull these shades down so they don't know that I'm in here. I don't...
Do you think that's part of the reason that maybe they did away with it? Or no?
I mean, I think they made the decision that was probably right, because I don't necessarily think the clubs at CityWalk necessarily do super great either. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I like the option. Like, I think that's why I liked Club Disney so mm-hmm. much, because you could have that kind of club environment, but nothing offensive or nobody staggering around, and it was fun.
No, absolutely.
You know, and I think that's the same thing, like, with Star Wars weekends. I'm such a geek. The dance parties were like my favorite part.
Well, hey, I'm a fan of that. So I know that the team that worked really hard on putting those together, like, that was really our intent, was like, look, there's nothing like this at Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do something different? Because at the time, when I learned to be a DJ at Walt Disney World, I didn't know how to mix two songs together. In fact, believe it or not, I didn't listen to secular music on the radio until I moved from Minnesota to Texas.
Really?
The first song I ever heard on the radio was Wild Wild West by Escape Club.
Get
Until old. Then, it was church music, and because my dad was the minister of music at our church.
Oh, wow.
So that's all I grew up with. Movie scores, and I think one of the first cassette tapes I got was the Cocktail soundtrack. So stupid.
No, it's really not. And you know
so
what?
So this guy John trains me. He's training me in Florida, and I remember he took me out to do this pool. He's like, "So when you're DJing at this pool, you should play like Jimmy Buffett and Bob Marley." And I'm like, "I have no clue what you're talking about."
You didn't know.
And he'd be like the Beatles, and I'd be like, "The Who?" Like, I didn't know any of this. Wow. So like, there are still to this day, like there this. Kills me to say this to everybody. There are Queen songs that I just heard recently that I'm like, this song is amazing.
Wow.
And my wife is like, are you kidding me? Like, this is like the quintessential Queen song. And I'm like, this is a great song. I love it. She's like, well, you should.
See, you know, it's funny to me that you say that, because I am like the exact opposite of you. And I'm going to tell you why. This is really good. I have a point here, you guys. Hold on. Okay, so when I was a kid, my dad was in a band.
Okay.
And he taught me, like, my brother is 9 years younger than me, so I was, like, you know, his buddy. We did all these things, and we'd sit in the basement in Michigan, and we'd go through his record albums. And I know so much useless music trivia. It's like, I can't tell you anything about math, science, anything important, but I can tell you who sung what in 1983, and I don't know why. But it's funny because, like, that's how I grew up, and then now my dad plays in the church band. So it's like I'm complete, like, opposite of you, you know?
That's
and
so
it's
cool.
Just, but it's kind of cool in your perspective, because, like, you almost get to see things as a brand new for, like, the first time, like you said, Queen stuff. Yeah. But I think it's amazing that you went from not having, like, that kind of a background to what you do now.
Well, and I think that's what helped, because the one thing I wanted to make sure that I was doing at the Frozen parties and the Star Wars parties is, all right, so EDM and dance music is super popular right now, but there's no lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But all the kids know what this music is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got all these adults who, if I don't play music that the adults like, they're going to take the kids and no one's going to be here.
Right.
I mean, that's the trick to a dance party. Like, the dance party is, I'm playing for the adults. And realistically, especially Star Wars weekends, I was playing to like 8 people. My 8 friends, I was playing mixes that I liked and I knew they were going to like. And that group of 8 people kept growing and becoming
right.
more and more people. And they'd get the inside jokes, like, I'll still play that Star Wars shot mix, and I know who my people are because they're the ones that do this. And I'm like,
right.
And they're really the only people I'm DJing for, because the other people are going to stick around. That was kind of the nice thing with Frozen. Like, they're not going anywhere. The fireworks are going to happen. Like,
right.
They're going to stand there no matter what I do, so I'm going to try to play something they've never heard before.
And I think that's kind of cool because, like, you know, like, for somebody like myself who I used to always tell my kids, because we'd listen to, like dance music mm-hmm. in the car. And I'd always say, kids, everything's better in the remix. It just mm-hmm. is. Because it is.
When I could... when you can take, you know...
Like, Let It Go. Like, you take it and you go boom, boom, boom. And you turn it into something
yeah.
that... The kids are down with it. But then so are parents like myself yeah. who love booty shaking music like I do. Oh. So it's kind of like you find that balance of keeping the kids happy but yeah. keeping the adults
that
happy.
That was my favorite was... I knew that nobody was there to see me, and that's kind of how, in everything that I've done, the motto that I've adopted is, it's not about me.
Right.
Like, realistically, they're not coming to see me. They're coming to see the fireworks. They're coming to see the Disney characters. Maybe one or two people really care about me, but it's not about me. Well, and I appreciate that. But
I did.
If I can make a mom and a dad and 2 kids scream and sing and dance and have a great time, that's what it's about. And that's, it's tough because I dance parties have that weird stigma at Disney because it does seem to be the go-to. Because they're, you know, relatively inexpensive to do. They're easy to put together quickly, and they're super popular. I mean, our Dinoland dance party we're doing right now, the scores on it are through the roof, but we've got amazing characters, we've got amazing cast out there, everybody's having a great time. Like,
I think it was, not that anybody cares what I think, but I think it was needed back there. I think that, that you know, in Dinoland and at Animal Kingdom, I really think that, you know, that there are people that enjoy that sort of thing. And sometimes, you know, it's a kind of a nice little break for the kids. Like, if you have your kids there and you don't want to go on rides or you need a time out or whatever, like, let's kind of go stand around, let the kids dance with the characters. And it's, I think it's a really good feature.
Yeah.
I mean, I do.
Well, and my favorite part about it is I have hired some amazing people to work with me. And most of those people right now happen to be this really great group of women that work for me.
Oh, cool.
And so you get to go back to Dinoland, and instead of it being a boy DJ, it's typically a girl DJ and a girl MC. And there's a reason why they have the highest score in the park right now, because they're killing it, man. Like, they're...
Well, yeah, I'm all about that. You know, girls doing things like getting in charge and stuff. Cause
it's they're absolutely killing it. I love it. They make me so proud. Because that's the weird thing now too is like, you know, as someone that, you know, is now in his 40s, like, I'm not the prime demographic to be doing these dance parties anymore. Like, I'm old.
You're not old.
I'm happily married and a little overweight. And
for goodness sake.
But I mean, I'm not 18 to 25. And I mean,
I think you can still kind of stay in tune with that. I really think that my mind is still like forever Disney mentality, because like, I know that we get a little rickety and tired and older, but like, our minds are still like,
oh no, my, with my hip the way it is, like, I can't stand there for 3 hours.
Like, have a geriatric dance party.
I start falling apart. So.
I've been passing out Tylenol, you know? I mean, it's just funny because, like, sometimes I have to remind myself, like, and I don't realize how tired or older I really am until, like, the next day.
What was it? Just the other day, I rode Rock and Roller Coaster, and I got off of it, and my wife was like, how was it? I was like, I think that's the last time I ever ride Rock and Roller Coaster. Like, I think that was it. I think I'm done.
It's so funny because I have my boys, they're so used to be like, I'm the good sport. You know, Mom, let's go on a roller coaster. I go on all these rides with them. And I've noticed in the past, like, year or so, like, if I know we're going to go someplace with coasters, I have to take a Dramamine because I can't do it anymore. And I don't want to disappoint. And I love that stuff. And I kind of miss it. But it does change as you get older.
That's why the chicken exits were built. So that you can just go on the line and be like, I will see you at the end or else our day is over.
No, it's just funny.
We're going to go see those new parking lot signs.
Exactly. I do miss it, though. You know, it's like I'm like, oh yeah, I can still hang with you. I'm good. And I'm like, here I am popping my Dramamine so I don't get sick. That's so horrible. Okay, anyway. I told you this is a crazy little show.
Hey, man.
We take like detours all the time. We always say sidebar and then we always end up bringing it back. So what do you think is like the most exciting part of the job that you get to do? Because I know, I mean, you can tell them yourself, but I know that you get to do other things now, like really fun things like conventions and different things besides Disney. So let's talk about that.
No, I kind of, a friend, one of my best friend, his name's Ruben. He's actually the warm-up guys he is the warm-up guy for Steve Harvey. He's the announcer on Family Feud. He's my best friend. And, he told me, he's like, you're one of the best nerd DJs I've ever met in my life. He's like, you know this crowd, you know this music, like, you need to lean into it. And he told me that a couple years ago, and I said, you know what, he's probably right. And so now, like, you know, I just landed in Orlando at 3 o'clock this afternoon, coming back from C2E2 in Chicago. We did Emerald City the week before. We've got Star Wars Marathon next weekend, and then I'll go to Chicago for Star Wars Celebration.
Yep.
You know, and that was kind of Star Wars Celebration. The irony is the success of my DJ career, I've tried to figure out like what was the one thing that pushed it over the edge. Because I was doing the interactive dance party, which was super popular back when I learned, with the big Mickey Mouse hands and everybody follow me and jump around. No one was DJing. Everyone was just playing playlists and, you know, clapping hands and follow me dances. Like, that was what every DJ on Disney property did. And I got a job. So the irony was, because of my car, which you said you want to talk about later.
You were going
to
talk about that.
I have a DeLorean, so I was invited to the very last day of the Back to the Future ride at Universal. And I brought my car, and there I met this guy, Daniel. And Daniel was the guy who created Push the Talking Trash Can. And so he said, hey, we're hiring some people. Would you be interested in learning how to do Push the Talking Trash Can? I said, absolutely. And that, by far, best job I've ever done in my life. I would still be doing that job today if it was still around.
Really? How come?
Like, the best job. Because all you did was mess with people all day long. It was the greatest.
Do you know people still miss that?
But the irony is, like, there's no way he could still be around today because of YouTube and videos. Because I would have been, I should have been fired multiple times for things I said.
Because of jokes and kind of
absolutely. Like, oh, man, all, like, that was my favorite thing to do. But because of that job, I met a guy named Tony. Tony introduced me to this guy, Mark, and Mark was the one that got me involved in Star Wars Celebration. So Star Wars Celebration, to me, was the birth of the DJ Elliott brand. That was when I got my logo done. That was when I decided this is what I'm going to do.
And when was that?
That would be Celebration 5 was, I think, 2010.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And people are like, oh, Push. They do miss it.
Oh, no, I know. It was super cool. And, I mean, it's so funny because, like, over the course of all the years at Walt Disney World, there's only like 7 people that did Push the Talking Trash Can in the entire run. Like, it was really not many of us. One of the guys still DJs with me, so I kept him. Aww. One of them's a show director at Disney right now. He's doing, you met Tony already, so
I have.
My first time meeting Tony, he was laying on the floor of the break room, which was, so our little break space for Push was this amp closet for the Stitch ride. So we had to listen to the Stitch's Great Escape all day long, just over and over and over and over again.
Oh, gosh.
Which was super funny.
It gets burned into your head.
Yeah. My favorite part was when they used to shoot at him. They'd say, and I could hear it in the closet, they'd be like, and the cannon is marking. And Stitch would go, polo. Marking, polo. And, like, you'd never really hear it when you were in the ride, but you could hear it light as day in that closet. So, Star Wars Celebration is what got me started down this really weird nerd DJ thing. And I've been doing Comic-Con since then. And, I mean, all over the world this year. I did Africa once last year. Going to go back to Africa this year. Wow. Doing a Cyprus Comic-Con, which is off the coast of Greece, I think.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I did Scotland earlier this year.
That's amazing that you get to travel to all these places.
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool.
Is it ever intimidating to go someplace that you've never been before? I mean,
like, no, man. Music is universal. That's the one cool thing that I learned is, because like Paris, like, you know, I've gotten to DJ. Man, I DJed events in Disneyland Paris, man. How cool is that?
I want to go there so bad.
Oh, it was so great. That team over there, such wonderful, wonderful people to work with. So the irony is, like, the 6 degrees of separation there is, so a girl from Paris sees me at Star Wars weekends. Her name is Marushka. And Marushka tells her boss at Paris, hey, we're doing this Star Wars event. You need to bring this DJ Elliott guy. So I go to Paris and I do Paris, and it gets all this online notice. So I come home, Rockin' Rio in Brazil sees the footage on YouTube and has me come down there and do an event for them. And then that event is how they saw me in Cyprus. So now I'm going to Cyprus.
So it's just going.
So like they keep, and the biggest thing, my epic moment was the Rockin' Rio gig. I mean, that was like 200,000 people or something like
that's
that.
Crazy.
It was ridiculous.
I would be so nervous.
All right, so I'm going to let a secret out about that. The Rockin' Rio gig, the secret.
Ooh, tell us. We won't tell.
So I was in California training for the warm-up gig, and I got an email saying, hey, would you be interested in coming to Brazil? And my answer is always yes.
Right.
And they're always like, how much? And I always write back, I don't care. Like, I just want to go.
Right.
And so they put the contract together. We agreed on a price, which if you're working on your own, find an agent, because you should not be the one handling the money, because I get all emotional and I just want to do the gig.
It's good to know.
So write that down. You need somebody to be, because you always have to be the nice guy.
I am the nice guy, and I have such a hard time. Yeah. We're going
to
talk.
Yeah, you can't. You have to have somebody else be that person in the middle so that you're still the nice person. So we worked we worked it all out. And so they say we want to set up a conference call with you. So they call me, and it was very broken English, and I could tell through the conversation they were basically asking me, can you pre-record what you're going to do and send it to us? Which is one of those things in the industry where some people are like, you know,
all of it or a sample of it.
I said, you know what? Well, they're like, they only wanted me to play for 8 minutes, so they flew me halfway around the world to DJ for 8 minutes.
For 8 minutes.
8 minutes. Yeah.
Wow.
So I said, look, I'll pre-produce this for you. I did the track in my kitchen. I sent it to my good friend Jeff Savage. He helped me master it. We sent it back, and they produced this amazing light and video to go with it, and it was absolutely amazing. But I walked out on stage, I said, what's up, Brazil? Thanks for having me. Played the track, and then pretended to DJ.
Because they already knew what you were going to do.
Because they had my track. So I didn't even have power hooked up to the mixer. Like, it was...
That is crazy.
But, so that's the secret. So I turned into David Guetta there for a moment.
Most of the
big DJs do that. If you're doing a live DJ show and there's pyro and lighting and video, it's usually pre-produced.
Wow, I'm so disenchanted. I didn't know that.
But rock shows are the same way. Like, they know their set list. They know what they're going to play, because you have to program that stuff. Otherwise, it's not a... It's a show, not a performance.
So, like, okay, sidebar. Sorry, I have to ask. Because, like, when we went to D23 in 2017... we did go to Vegas. We just took a quick trip, and I noticed that Calvin Harris was DJing in one of the clubs one night, and it was like this huge draw. And I wish we could have stayed, because again, my type of thing. Yeah. Oh my gosh! And I'm like, Calvin Harris is playing, and the kids are like, who? But like stuff like that. I mean, does everybody?
I wouldn't know what the percentage is. I would say that there's probably it really when you walk in, and if you can tell it's a program light show and you know, there's video. If like the more content that's tied to the show, the more likely the performance has already been.
Well, I guess I could see that, because what you're doing, it is a performance. It's the whole thing.
But on the same time too, though, but it's his music. He has created that music. Right. He's already put in the time. So, and that was mine. Like, I created music for that event. So I'm not really posing. I'm not a poser, because I am actually playing this music.
And it's your stuff. Yeah.
And so same thing. Like even Frozen Summer Fun. And,
right.
Like there were sometimes I would play like a premix of like three or four songs together, because like the last 15 minutes of the show was always the same, because we had to start rolling time code in order to make sure that the fireworks went off at the right time.
And see, I was going to ask you that without trying to be too invasive. Mm-hmm. If I ask you something you're not supposed to say, just go next. Because I remember, you know, like towards the end of, I don't know if it was it Frozen or was it Star Wars, that you played Don't Stop Believing by Journey towards
pretty
the
much
end.
most shows.
Okay, and I was always, we always knew that the fireworks were coming when we heard that that song. Yeah. And not that we did go quite a bit, if you
can. Hey, no, that's fine.
The best part of it, though, is he intros it where you kids know this from Glee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody over 30
See,
knows this
we
from.
It's the same joke. If you're over the age of 25, this is Journey. If you're under 25, this is Glee. I tell that joke every time. I said it this weekend.
And because in
that's a good joke.
and for us, it was always like a cool thing, because, you know, we were from Michigan, and the whole born and raised in South Detroit thing is like a big thing in Michigan.
Yeah.
You turn down the music and everybody would scream it, like at like Red Wings games, Tigers games, everything in Detroit. So it was like, it was a thing for us. So that's we're cool. Like, okay, this is what we're, you know, and we still yell South Detroit.
So talking about the DJ though, self-recording, it'd be similar to how a musician, when they did videos, they pantomime the video.
Yeah,
so they create the whole thing, but they put it all together. So it's kind of the same thing, just in a live version. That's
a really good point.
Makes sense.
So yeah,
to make sure nothing goes wrong when you're live. You want
to that was it. Like, I'm in front of all those people. I don't want to screw up. The only screw up that happened was BB-8 came around the corner and he's rolling around on stage and he hit a wall. His head fell off. And that was prior to his head falling off in the movie, which, so now it's canon. So BB-8's head comes off.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure that they put it in the movie, because his head falls off all the time. And so if you think back to episode 8, he comes flying, they blow up the hangar, and BB-8 flies through the air, and his head falls off, and BB-8 grabs his own head and puts it back on his head. I'm pretty sure that's in there because of at the theme park's request. I can't confirm or deny that, but that's my guess, is that they're going to make it canon, because that's how it goes.
Okay, so I have interesting. Okay, I have a question. What would you say is the best memory you have of all the fun opportunities that you've gotten to do? If you had to pick one.
I DJ'd a party at Star Wars Celebration. It was a fan mixer, and it was my very first like fan mixer, and it was the first time I realized that I was in a room of people just like me. And it was really bizarre because it looked like an eighth grade high school dance, where it was all these boys on one wall and all these girls
on the other wall,
and then like three guys with lightsabers like swinging around in the center of the floor, and nobody was dancing. And I'm playing really good music, having a good time. And I turned the microphone down. I turned the music down. And I said, "Hey, look," I said, "we're all the same." And I say this at every convention that I go to, especially when you go to conventions and you're around. Look, we all like take D23 for example. We all like Disney just a little bit more than the average person,
right?
Because we're spending all this money, we're traveling around the world, we're standing in lines for 17 days. We're doing all of this to be together. So let's have a good time. Like, it's a, Star Wars Celebration is great because you can be anywhere and turn to somebody and know, I already have something in common with this person.
Yes, that's great.
I already love this thing so much that I'm here and they're here and we're here together. Let's talk. And so I made that speech, gave them essentially permission to dance, and they danced. At the end of the night, this girl came up. She gave me this napkin. I have this napkin framed in my office. And it says, I don't know if you were really a nerd or not in high school, but tonight you made us all feel real special. Thank you. And it killed me. Like, even right now, I'm like, all right, hold it together.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it just, it was that moment of like, cool, I got to make people all feel the same. And we had the same moment just this last weekend at C2E2. And it really was just a moment of like, hey, look, like, we all had a hard time growing up. You don't have to worry about that here. This is your safe space. You know, I want to see a big party at D23. Anytime I see Michael Vargo, I'm like, bring me out, please. Like, please let me do something with your event. Like, let's have a party. Let's get everybody together and just acknowledge that we're all weird. But we all love this thing so much that we're here. Just let us have this time together.
You're, like, legit going to make me cry. Like, seriously, because you get it. A lot of people don't get it, you know, and especially, I'm not going to go on a tangent, but there's a lot of people in the Disney community that like to fight with each other over silly things. And even in what I do as far as reporting and stuff, there's so much, you know, things that shouldn't be. And it's like, you know, I stay in my own lane because it's like, we all love the same thing. There's plenty of these fandoms to go around where let's just not take it so seriously and enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, mine is Star Wars. Star Wars is such a hard place to be right now. And I am, again, I support my ReadPop people 100%. They are fans just like everybody else. And it hurts my feelings to see people just rip them apart. They're trying to do their best to put on the best event possible. And they're dealing with powers above and beyond their control. Working with Disney, working with Lucasfilm, working with Marvel, working with these huge companies that have these multi-billion dollar IPs to watch out for. You can't just run right in and make something happen. You know, and so I just want everybody to just breathe and just say, you know what? We all love this more than normal people. Because the normal person on the street isn't arguing whether or not that's their Luke.
Yes.
They're just like, oh, it's another Star Wars movie. They're not the ones that are like, they've got their iPad, their laptop, and their iPhone open to try to see which one they can load the trailer on faster to watch.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that the same thing goes for, like, Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's such, especially right now, with, you know, the next Avengers movie coming out and Captain Marvel and all these things. You know, it's such a, people get so, like, you know, passionate about these things. And it's like, either you get it or you don't. I always say that about Disney, about Marvel, about anything you can. Either you get it or you don't. And some people think, well, you know, it's not real or whatever. Like me, I'm going to cry when I go see Dumbo. And I know that's not a real elephant, but it you know, it just it's one of those things. But in your head that these things mean so much to you that it does matter.
No, and it's hard to realize that it means that much to other people as well. And if you sit and talk about it, you can be like, look, I may not agree with your theory and you may not agree with my theory, but we can't agree on the fact that there's something wrong with us because we are totally invested in this imaginary thing that the majority of people don't really care about. So because we share that in common, we should be best friends. Like, this doesn't make sense to me.
See, and I get, oh God, you know, I'm just having these light bulb moments with you because you, I could have said these things myself, and I think that I'm weird because I'm like, is it very simplistic of me to think that this is how it should be as opposed to how it is? You know, like, people should be embracing each other for these different, you know, we all love the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool that you do. And I mean, people, I mean, I'm down here with my people because, like, my friends in Michigan, my two best girlfriends, they know that I'm Disney crazy and I love all these things. And that, you know, my husband is, like, the biggest, you know, Marvel geek and he, all these things. But, like, people back home, like, they know that, oh, Michelle works with Disney. And I have to go and explain it. And then sometimes when I go home, they don't even want to know because they don't get it.
No.
They just don't get it. And so I think that when you find your people, you want to embrace it.
It's funny because I may be known for Star Wars. Like, that's the, like, oh, he's Star Wars DJ. That's the thing that he does. And I got that simply by just telling people I was a Star Wars DJ. And eventually one day somebody sent it back. So just keep saying what you are to somebody. And eventually they'll be like, oh, yeah, you're the Star Wars DJ.
I am the next big talk show host.
There you go. See, you got it. But my fandom is Disney. my fandom is Disney. I mean, I found my family when I moved to Florida. And I mean, Disney and Star Wars, I met my wife.
That's so cool.
Like, and I said it, it's funny, I said it at Star Wars Celebration a couple years ago and got quoted in the freaking Wall Street Journal.
Did you really?
Like, about, like, I seriously doubt that George Lucas thought that people were going to meet their spouses through this space opera that he was going to create. But that's what happened, man.
And no,
Disney's how I met my wife, man. Like, I showed up to work one day and she was my manager. It was a Disney Junior dance party. And they were doing something in the Disney Junior building, and so we were over in the animation building, which at the time broke my heart, because as a kid, you'd walk through and look at that floor and see the animators drawing. And so I'm nerding out, because again, my fandom is Disney. I'm nerding out because I'm DJing on the spot where they drew Little Mermaid. That it now looks like character meet and greets. So it's, you know, but that's where I met my wife. So the fun thing was, is I actually got to propose to her in that spot right before they closed it down for Launch Bay. So, because we didn't know if it was going to, like, what was going to happen with that floor. And I was like, well, this is where we met. Like, this is where it has to happen. Like, it all came together at the last minute. And it was so funny because she came home from work. She worked at Hollywood Studios at the time. She was an entertainment manager then. Now she's, like, a rock star. I married up, so. Aww. You know what that's like. Exactly. He's nodding his head back home if you didn't know.
He's like, I got you.
So I told her, I said, hey, like, we need to go back to studios. And she's like, I just came home from there. I don't want to go back there. And I was like, we have to go back. And that was one of the nights Dave was covering for me at, Aussie Dave was covering for me at the Frozen dance party. And I walked her over and we were back there. And she's like, we're not supposed to be back here. Like, this is a construction zone. And I went and got permission. Like, I was all set to go.
Yeah.
And she's like, we can't be back here. I'm going to get in trouble. If they catch me back here, we could get fired. And so she was walking away to leave, and I was like, hey, well, before you leave, you know, would you marry me? And she turned around and froze and didn't say anything. And I was like, yo, we should probably get out of here before somebody. It was great. So.
That's a great story.
So, yeah, man, that's how I met my wife. So, you know.
I have to say, I love your stories. Those are great, great stories. Yeah. I hope you guys are enjoying it, too. See, this is, like, my favorite part of having guests on, because we get to hear so many cool things, and they don't have to just listen to Scott and I banter, so so there's that. And I want to ask you, too, everybody's like, what a nice story.
Oh.
Okay, so, like, you've had all these opportunities, have you gotten to meet, like, a lot of celebrities, and if so, like, who was, like, the coolest person you got to meet?
So I, because of my job with the Comic-Cons, I've gotten to meet some amazing people. I take a very different approach to it. I'm not a photo taker. I'm not an autograph person. I don't like to do any of that. It's probably because it's drilled into your head when you work at Disney not to do it.
Not to do that.
But the other main reason for me, and I tell everybody that works for me, the minute that you do that, you're not... they're equal. Because when we're working on a Comic-Con, we're putting on a show together. And they look at me like an equal. But the minute you take the picture or you get the autograph, you're a fan. You're not part of the show. Just surprising moments. One year at New York Comic-Con, we were doing the press for Tomorrowland and Big Hero 6. And so we're sitting backstage. and I'm watching a little preview monitor. And I hear somebody come up beside me. He's like, "Hey, what are you watching?" I'm like, "Oh, well, we're watching Hugh Laurie and whoever the girl in the movie was. She's out there." He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm supposed to go out there in a minute." I turn around and it's George Clooney.
Oh, God.
And just the nicest guy. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is so cool." Like, he's like, "Yeah, do you think I can like sneak out through these curtains? I kind of want to surprise him." And I was like, I said, "It's going to be pretty cool because you've got like two of TV's biggest doctors on stage."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm totally stealing that." And I was like, "Cool, man." And we stood back there and talked because he should have been on his honeymoon because he had just gotten married like 2 days before. Super nice guy. You know, we got, you know, we know all the Star Wars folks pretty well. It was good. This in Emerald City Comic Con last weekend, I ran into James Arnold Taylor. I haven't seen him in a while.
Since Star Wars weekend, such a big presence at Star Wars weekend.
Man, just weird random friendships and phone calls. Because the other perk too, like I work at Walt Disney World, so they're all like, "Hey, when we come to Disney, like you're gonna get us in for free." I'm like, "You're a multimillionaire. I do not need to get you into the park for free."
That's funny how that's just kind of a universal thing. Like, it doesn't matter if they have enough money to go.
The last one was I had just spent a bunch of time with a celebrity. We'd been walking around Disney for a day, and I was going out to California, and we were supposed to catch up. And he's like, "Oh, I'm doing press for this new show that I'm on, and I'm in the UK." And I said, "Well, that's okay. I already saw you. Your face is on the side of the building by the airport." And he was just like, "Haha, sucker." And I was like, "You're a jerk." But it's just so weird. My life is weird. But it's just funny because the other thing too, and I used to say this because people all the time during Star Wars would be like, "Oh, we love your performances. They're really great." And I said, "Well, the funny thing is, like, you really only get to see, like, 10% of what I do. Mm-hmm. Like, the majority of the stuff that I do is behind the scenes, you know, a lot of the producing the music and trying to put stuff together and hustling. That's my big thing. Like, I'm not a Disney cast member. I'm an independent contractor.
Yeah.
So I have to hustle, man. Like, I have to.
Every
gig I get, I have to go find myself. So
you do. And I think that's where a lot of misconception is, too, because, like, people assume, like, "Oh, you work for Disney." No. Yeah. I work with Disney. Yeah. I don't work for Disney. And you do have to hustle.
No, because the only way I get it, the only reason I get it for free is because my wife works for Disney. No.
I buy my pass.
And I have a silver pass because she is fancy.
She's fancy.
She is going to be an executive someday, and then I won't have to do anything but sit at home with our two little dogs.
Aww.
And it'll be great.
These are great stories. Okay, so let's talk about really quick... what do you think about Galaxy's Edge, since you're such a big Star Wars fan?
I'm excited, man. It's going to be really neat. Like, they're knowing little things that the rest of the public doesn't know yet. It's going to be some really cool stuff. I'm excited to see how the rollout's going to work. I would have liked to have seen them both open at the same time. I think it would have been a smarter way to distribute the amount. I've always felt like Disney underestimates the power of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
As someone that knows Star Wars, I really think that they underestimate the amount of people that are going to try to get in this land. But it does look like they've at least prepared for it.
It's such a huge area. Like, you know, the overhead views that they've mm-hmm. shown. Even like, you know, before they changed the entrance to the studios, when you would go in through the back, mm-hmm. you could see just how massive this area is going to be. And I think that it's going to be totally needed because you've seen the jokes and stuff that people lining up at the Florida State line, you know, like Galaxy's Edge line starts here. I really think that it's going to be insane. It's going to be crazy.
I just hope that I get to somehow play a role in opening and that I get to be there. I just hope. That's the other thing too. Like, there's never a guarantee I'm going to get a gig. Like,
nope.
You know, because the truth is, and this is the thing that we ran into with the last year of Star Wars Weekends. If you remember, the last Star Wars Weekends, the first week I was DJ Lobot, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden the next weekend I was just DJ Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, well, there are no DJs in the Star Wars universe. So the only DJ in the Star Wars universe is DJ Rex, and he's going to be in the bar already. So.
Jeez.
So how's that going to play out? So does that mean I've put myself out of work?
But it's a little bit nerve-wracking, you know, and I think just to touch on that a little bit, when you are freelance and you do your own thing, you know, if I've already had people say to me, well, you're so lucky you're going to get to see Galaxy's Edge ahead of time.
I hope so.
I hope so. I hope Disney thinks I'm still doing a good job.
I know. Both Mark Daniel and I are like, I hope we get to be there.
I hope so. And you know what? And I always tell people if I'm lucky enough to be invited, because I was invited to do the big press day for Toy Story Land. Oh. And I still, you know, I don't know about you, and I'm sure since we think about a lot of things, when you get to go to these events and do these things, I still have those moments like, I can't believe I'm here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can't believe, but I have self-doubt too. Like when I was, you know, the big press day for Toy Story Land, they had the international media and all these things, and I'm walking up and my stomach is hurting and I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh no, I did... Disneyland After Dark, Star Wars Night for May the 4th, and I got to DJ on the Tomorrowland stage at Disneyland. The Beatles played on that stage, man. Like, every major, like, just the history. And it was so funny, because, like, everyone I worked with, I was like, oh my God, this is, like, the coolest thing ever. And they're just like, what are you talking about? It's Tomorrowland stage, man.
You're like, but no, there's more to it.
You're like, the history and the spot, like, I just couldn't thank them enough for bringing me out there and letting me be a part of it. And they're just like, this is Wednesday for us. And I'm like, well, this is the most exciting day of the year for me.
Right, exactly. And I think that gratitude is something that is so important, because we know that we are lucky that we get to do
absolutely.
These things. And it's awesome.
Look, there are tons of DJs out there. And if you gave me 3 days, I could probably turn you into a DJ. It's not that complicated. Especially if you're telling me that you know the music that you know. It's not really that hard.
I do. And it's just one of those things that I don't even have any shame. It's just one of those, I can't help myself. No. That's why I was like, anytime there's a dance party, I'm like all about it. I mean, like when I saw you last summer at Animal Kingdom, I didn't even realize that was you because my eyes are terrible. And when you came down to say hi to us, I'm just went there to listen to the music. Yep. And like, I know the kids are kind of like, because they're teenagers now, and it's kind of like, oh, you're going to go on a ride, you're going to go Everest. And I'm like, I am perfectly content to sit here and listen to
the music. And now what's super great, and what they did such a great job with in Dinoland, is it's not just by the truck now. They broadcast that music through the whole land.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you are. From the time the dance party starts at 5 o'clock till it ends at 8, it is through the entire land. It's kind of weird when I leave the truck to go to the bathroom and you still hear the music that you're playing, and you're like, well, this is kind of weird. But yeah, it's
oh my gosh, I would be all about that. I've been so busy lately that I haven't been able to get to the parks for fun as much, because we go cover for events and such. But I was just saying, we covered a convention this weekend. Mm-hmm. 2 weekends ago, we were in Huntsville, Alabama. Yeah. And I was just telling Scott, I'm like, I need some Disney time that's not work. But, you know, it's always work because I don't know how to shut it off.
Yep.
You know, you're always thinking, because when you work for yourself, you don't get holidays off. You don't get to shut it off at 5 o'clock.
No.
You know, you always got to be on your toes. You always got to be thinking.
You love it, so it doesn't necessarily feel like work.
This is true. And people think that I'm a little bit crazy sometimes, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's, if you love what you do, it's not work.
No.
That's so cliche, but it's true.
Yep.
It's very true. So, I'm going to ask him something else, and if you have any questions, do it now, or Scott can go back and see. But while we're waiting for questions, do you want to tell everybody about your car collection?
Oh, jeez. So I have an insane side hobby, my side hustle. My favorite movie of all time, Back to the Future. Like, that was it.
Are you going to go to the reunion at MegaCon and see all those
I am not, because I've already met all of them.
Oh, well, then you don't need to go.
I've already met them. I already know, yeah.
Okay.
My car is actually being used for the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. I will be DJing that party at MegaCon, so.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm the DJ.
Look at my whole, my little geek heart just went.
So there you go. So I'll be there. So perfect. That'll be for Moshi Moshi. So he's a good friend of mine, John. He's a good dude.
That's
he puts on really, really good parties. So.
That's exciting.
So yeah. So I bought a DeLorean and was sitting in my garage for a while, and I decided I was going to turn it into a DeLorean time machine. And over the course of like 2 years, I started buying parts online, and then I had a friend of mine, Oliver and Terry Holler. They work for the Fox Foundation, and they drive their DeLorean around the world raising money for Parkinson's research.
Wow.
They've raised over $1 million.
That's amazing.
They're like the number one like fundraiser in that organization. And if you've seen a DeLorean time machine at a show, you've probably stood in their car. It's not screen accurate. It's not even close. It's kind of, they call it like the Frankenstein car, but it's doing what it should be doing. My car on the other end, extremely screen accurate because that was important to me. But they helped me bend the flux vans, which is one of the hardest parts to do on the car. So we moved from one house to the other house, and I didn't have a place to put the flux vans. So I told my wife, you know what, I'm just going to put them on the car. And as soon as I put them on the car, it started to look like the car. And then I just went down this rabbit hole, and within 2 months had the car finished. And now I've owned it for like almost 4 years now. Universal's used it a couple times. A couple cool. summers at Universal, they did some things with it. And yeah, it's super fun. And so that car turned into a Jurassic Park Jeep. I built that for my wife so she could learn to drive standard. She never learned to drive standard. and then I built a pizza plant truck because I thought we would be able to use it for some of the Toy Story stuff. But it didn't really get done in time. So it's sitting in my garage. We use it to like haul stuff around. Actually, right now, in the back of the pizza plant truck is the entire interior of a 1992 Ford Explorer because I'm doing a second Jurassic Park Explorer. So.
No, why a second Jurassic Park?
Because I built one, and I put pictures online, and a dude offered to buy it from me, so I sold it to him, because he gave me a lot of money. So
it's funny, as you were saying that, somebody asked, what's the next car build? The Jurassic Park build has been awesome. So
I'm doing another Explorer because I never really got to have fun with that Explorer. So I'm getting so the Jeep is going away because I don't need two Jurassic Park cars, and I don't really need... According to the government, I have what's called a fleet of cars, so I have a pretty good tax deduction. Yeah, anything over five is a fleet.
Really?
So, yeah. So just start buying cars, man. It's my best tax deduction.
Do they have to be nice cars? It could be any car.
No, man. That Ford Explorer I bought, I paid like $1,500 for it when I bought it. Right? You know, it was not new.
Nathan had asked, when are you going to upload some more sets? Because he said your music's what gets him through the days.
Oh, wow. So I ran into a problem with SoundCloud where I got two strikes. And I'm waiting for the two strikes to go away because if there's a third strike, they delete my channel. And then all of those mixes that are on there are gone. And there's like over 40 hours of music on that website. But yeah, there's nothing really relatively new up there at all. Because I'm always afraid that... copy protection is going to, you know, all that technology gets better. I'm sure you've realized with YouTube videos and stuff that you play half a second of a song and they're like, that's our song.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's really hard.
I can't even
hard.
Imagine for you, like, yeah. You know,
because I don't own any of the music that I'm making. I am stealing other people's music to make my own music. Like, it's a real gray area, so I don't sell my stuff. I typically just give it away. You can always go to djla.com and email me because I've got like marathon sets that people can use when they're running marathons with intervals and stuff in them. And those are 3-hour mixes, man. I've got probably 6 or 7 of them in a Dropbox folder. So
it's funny because we were at Birmingham, Alabama, would have been 2 years ago now, and the 501st was directly across from our group. They were set up there. And the one Saturday night, they had one of the Stormtroopers came dressed as a DJ. He was all silver DJ gloves on and everything. And he brought it, wheeled in his boombox, and he was playing his set through there. And so we started talking to him. And I was like, well, if you're ever looking for my music, and I gave him the links to your stuff, he goes, I know this guy. I never thought I could get his music. So he
That's
started
so funny.
Using
So yes. now he's stealing so my music. Of, yeah. I yeah. will find you. I will search you down.
So now in Alabama, yes. they were playing your Star Wars weekend set at a convention.
Because he was just playing normal music. I said, you need a Star Wars spin on some of this stuff. And I said, you can check out my friend. He's got some great stuff on SoundCloud. You can pull it down and use it to play in the background. Because he wasn't really just kind of standing there looking cool with the music playing.
So oh, no. There's really surreal moments where I walked through Electronica one night and heard a track that I had produced that somebody else was playing. And I was like, this is so weird. Because that's the gig I wanted. Like, I wanted to play that gig. That gig looked like a blast.
So before we go, is there anything like future plans that you would like to accomplish? I mean, I know that you get to do so many great things. Is there something that you kind of have your sights set on that you'd like to do?
A bucket list.
Like a bucket list.
I don't know. Like, I've been super blessed, man. I've got a really great gig. I've got some really, really great people that work for me now. Because that was kind of the weird thing, was like, so I know I can't DJ at Disney anymore because I'm getting older. But it doesn't mean that I can't train new people to do this, because I think that my standards are super high. And so I have this really amazing team of people. that just are rock stars, man. I really, really am proud of my team. And to get, go out and watch them like do all this cheesy stuff that I created and hear them play mixes that I made and just make them their own, it's just, it's really, really fun to watch. Nice. It is kind of hard to watch too, because you're like, oh wow, like they're stealing my job.
Oh.
But on the flip side, like, you know, they're absolutely killing it. So
and you're passing the torch too.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I can't, and that's the thing, like I don't want to be the 50-year-old DJ.
No.
And that's the kind of hard, weird, we're at this weird place at Disney right now, because there's a lot of us older generation DJs that it's kind of time, like, you know, it's time to let these younger people come in. I mean, it's kind of not just with DJs, just Disney as a whole. Like, there's all these older executives and these older people that it's that time, you know, and if we can't, we're, if we don't see changes, we're just going to keep seeing the same thing over and over and over again. And especially to Disney, if they don't figure that out, theme park up the street's going to give them a run for their money. Because they're hiring all these super young people right now, hiring most of them from here, from Disney.
Yeah.
So, but it'll be interesting to watch. So,
well, can I, let me just tell you this, from the feedback that I receive, you are very well loved, and people would be upset if you were not around doing these things, because I know that sometimes when we put out, you know, different events, whether it's Galactic Nights and, you know, these different things, people are like, is DJ Ollie going to be there? You know, because, or New Year's Eve. So, don't check out on us yet.
Oh, no. But I don't make the, I unfortunately don't make the decisions.
I just
reply to the email and say, yes, I'm available.
Yes, so, I'm available.
So I will be doing Star Wars Marathon next weekend. So I will be at all
Very
four
cool.
of those. Really looking forward to the 3 a.m. call every morning.
I bet. So are you going to go out to D23 this summer?
Yes. So I am, I have, I'm already going to be out there. I've composed in my head the email that I'm going to write to Michael Vargo saying, hey, I'm out here, you should utilize me.
Okay.
But we'll see. I mean, I'm going to go because, again, I'm a huge Disney fan. It breaks my heart because I love Star Wars. Like, Star Wars is great, but it's not Disney. Like, when you listen to some of the Disney mixes that I've done, they blow away the Star Wars stuff. Because, like, I like Star Wars,
yeah.
But it's not Disney.
No, and there's something about Disney, but I will tell you another compliment. I know I'm just throwing them at you, but when I am not, no, don't judge, I'm not a huge, huge Star Wars fan, but when we would go listen to, you know, the music and such at Star Wars weekends, you kind of put a spin on it that I could relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started, like, the music from the Flippin' Cantina Band. That song sticks like glue in your head, and it doesn't go away.
I don't show it.
So it's like, but when you put a little bit of, you know, I think that kind of helps people like myself, that if you're going to these events for people that you love and your family and friends, but you're not necessarily the biggest fan, I do find that to be a little bit more helpful, if that makes sense.
No. One, the other thing I've also tried to do, too, is, like, hey, just because a song is 6 minutes long doesn't even mean we need to play all 6 minutes.
That's right.
We can play 2 minutes of it. And then instead we can play three songs in the span of 6 minutes instead of just one. And so some people like that. Some people hate it. But I'm going to keep throwing stuff at you. And eventually you're going to recognize something. And that was one of the best compliments I got from a show director, was like, every time I walk by, I hear something that I like.
Yep.
He's like, and if I don't like it, like, a couple minutes later, it's on to something else.
See, and I think that's great as a fan of music like that. Like, if there a song comes on, it's almost like my dad in the 80s, he DJed weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would go sometimes and watch. Hi, Dad. you know, like, when he would say comments like, well, you know, you play a song and it falls flat, you kind of got to wait for that song to continue. But when you have, like, a mix going on, you can, you know, maybe take that one out and put something else in. That way you got a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah.
And right. I think it's great that's how you roll, because it's good.
Try.
You're like, I know.
Sometimes.
Okay, so Suzanne, that works for me, is already putting down your djelliot.com in the comments.
Oh, there you go.
Stuff.
Cool.
So where can they find you? Just djelliot.com?
Yeah, djelliot.com. I'm horrible at social media. I have hired a social media person. We're going to try to get ramped up and going before Star Wars Celebration. I think Twitter and Instagram are the DJ Ollie. It'll be the Instagram with like 3 photos on it, and it'll be like, you know, Twitter with like 7 posts. It's sad, but it's, you know.
You gotta do it, man.
I know, but it's just, I have a friend of mine that, like, it is his life, and I just, it is taken away his ability to do his other job. And I'm like, bro, like, it's great that you have this huge social media thing, but if you can't back it up with a performance, then what are you doing?
That's really an interesting way to look at it. See, for me, I do this and I do that and do social media, and I'm tired.
Yeah, man. So I'm going to hire somebody else. Just be like, here you go. You do it. I don't know how that works yet, but we'll figure it out.
So this has been wonderful. I'm so glad that you took time to come.
Oh, no, thanks for letting me come.
And talk with us. And he's, again, he was traveling, and he's still, we tried to let him off the hook, and he still showed up anyway. So thank you so much for that. And Scott, do you want to close out the show?
Let me close this out. So you can follow us on at The Main Street Mouse on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and Main Street Mouse on Twitter. Make sure you on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button and the notification button, correct?
Correct.
And we don't have any upcoming events right now. We've been pushing everything.
You know what? It's
kind
of nice to not, because we've been doing so many conventions and things, so I'm hoping that April will be a little more quiet, but you know, we'll be still putting out content.
I think our next thing is probably June when we go to Magic City Con.
Oh, I don't know. Not true. I have a media event next week. The new Lightning McQueen attraction at Hollywood Studios. That is, I have an event for that on the 3rd, I believe, so watch for that. And, you know, I
wasn't there something the day before that as well?
Planet Hollywood, I think. I got to check my calendar. But I do have events coming up, and I will be sure to report everything, so follow our social media. And make sure you follow the DJ Elliot as well, even if he doesn't post that much.
I'm working on it.
There's great stuff coming. So thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you very much.
I really appreciate it. And thank you guys for watching, and we will see you next Monday night.
Why is the rum always gone?
Hi there! Welcome to the Main Street Mouse!